You're so blessed. Amen. So, looking at our sermon notes, what is our title for this Lord's Day?
We are family.
We are family. Now, I want you to say it again with some oomph, amen, and high five a neighbor next to you and let them know, neighbor, we are family. We are family. We are family. We want to make an impact by caring for one another. Amen. In each other's lives. The nursery is available for those five and under. Amen. You'll see Pastor Kelly back there waving. Anybody, little tiny people? All right. All right. Amen. Well, let's join our hearts in prayer. Praise your name, Lord God Almighty. We say thank you because you are worthy of all the glory, of all the honor, and all the praise. And indeed, we praise you this day. And we ask now that you would speak into our hearts and our minds and our lives this day as we actively listen to the preaching of your holy word, that we all, as a family, as the body of Jesus Christ, would respond with yes, Lord, yes, resulting in much love and unity and purpose and much evidence of spiritual fruit in, through, and all over our lives. Hallelujah. Make it so, Lord Jesus, is our prayer this day. And we ask it ahead of time in your mighty name. And all God's saints join together to say, amen and amen. Hallelujah, saints. We are family. Amen. And we desire to make an impact by caring and loving one another. There is a story of a young father who heard a commotion out of his back window, and he looked back there and saw his daughter and several of her playmates out there, and some of them had hands on their hips, some of them was moving their hands, some of them was shaking their finger. They was all yelling at each other, and he went running out and said, "What's going on? What's going on?" And his daughter said, "Nothing, Daddy." He said, "Well, what are you doing?" She said, "We just play in church." Now, that's not the kind of church that God desires for us. Amen. Praise God. I want you to touch a neighbor near you and say, "Neighbor, God has created us for community." For community. Amen. And this need for community is built into our very fiber of our being. It's in the DNA of our spirit, saints. And as Christians, our deepest desire is to see the truth of God's word, amen, as it influences our relationships with others. And the word of God has a lot to say about our relationships one to another. Now, in our text for this Lord's Day that Renee read, the Greek word fellowship, it means to share something in common. Amen. Look at the neighbor near you and say, "We share something in common." Amen. We share something in common. Amen. And the rest of the passage fleshes out the concept as we learn that the early church, in verse 44, were all together as they met together in the temple courts and they ate together, it says in verse 46. Now, this passage mentions three times that they ate together. They ate together. They ate together. So we know shared meals played an important role in the life of the early church. Well, we know we already got that in common with them. Amen. We know we love to eat. Hallelujah. And I'll just go ahead and say, yeah, the stereotypes about pastors are true. We love chicken. Yes, we do. And I'm not trying to deny it. We sure love chicken. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And the greens too. Thank you. Thank you, Mary. We look at verses 44 and 45. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Hallelujah. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he or she had needs. So, saints, we're not here on our own. Praise God. Because we've been created to be in community with others. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We long to know others deeply and for them to know us. Amen. And so fellowship It helps us to be able together to face life's problems, life's challenges, life's ups and downs and ins and outs. How many know life is hard? It's hard living in this world. Amen. But praise God, we have one another. We've got fellowship with one another. I want everybody to say, the church. The church is meant to be a place, saints, where we experience in-depth relationships and lifelong friendships. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to just remind your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, we are family. We are family. And we are family. We are family. And the purpose of our new life sharing series, which begins this week, we're so excited. And today's message is launching us into it. The purpose is to challenge us to develop deeper relationships within the church and, in effect, enhance our own personal relationship with God. And saints, these relationships that we develop one with another, they don't end here on earth, because when we're in Jesus Christ, they are eternal. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. So once again, remind your neighbor, neighbor, we are family. We are family. We are family. Yes, we are the body of Christ. We are the family of God. Now, God created family so that we can have relationships with one another. We can be intimate, so we can enjoy one another's company. All right? The story of those little kids out there, they weren't enjoying it. But God wants us to enjoy each other's company and each other's companionship. All right? Turn to your neighbor and look at him and say, God wants us to enjoy each other. Yeah, God. Yeah, we're to enjoy each other. Amen. And God hungers for us to be loved and to give love to others. Amen. As a matter of fact, God wants this more for us than we even want it for ourselves. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now, saints, in the series we begin this week, every session in this study will address the areas of loving and being loved. You will be challenged in your personal life. You will be challenged as a small group as you go through this series to be intentional and consistent about building relationships. You will, we promise, get practical tools and be encouraged to set measurable goals for giving and receiving love. Now, saints, our entire series this time is in the book of Acts, all right? Our theme is building community. Everybody say that. Building community. Now, our goal is not to cover a whole lot of Bible, saints, but to take a portion of it and go very deeply into it. And even better yet, let that portion of Scripture go very deeply into you. Now, the lessons are on your email. Go on your computer. We do have lessons in the back available as well. But we want to ask you to get a lesson and open it up, praise God. And then go through it and ponder the passages. Let them speak to you. Go over the questions so that when we gather as small groups, that you will have comments on how the questions and the passages have affected and impacted your life. Amen. Now, I'm just going to share with you a little bit of overview of what we're going to be doing in building community. Our lessons will consist of overflowing in the Spirit, being filled in the Spirit, day by day walking and living in the Spirit, devoted to each other, being committed to each other, cheering each other on, hallelujah, building each other up, encouraging each other, devoted to the Word of God, and the last one, becoming bold champions of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we will do all of that in the book of Acts. I want you to turn to your sermon note sheet and let's read a New Testament passage together once more, beginning with verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. The saints, it's been said that the church is a family, and we've said it. But you know, I've always wondered about this because some of the families I know, well, they don't function too lovingly well. But the church is a family. Amen. And sometimes I think of some of the ways we love, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. And even in growing up, I can confess that there were times when I wasn't my best in the family either. I can remember one of many times, but this situation, my mother had asked me to make the salad for dinner, and I didn't really want to make the salad for dinner. So I went, I said, okay. She had got the stuff, and I was cutting the carrots up like that. Not little nice pieces, but big hunks, you know. You'd have to chew the carrot for about a half an hour, I guess. So I'm doing that. And so then she came by and she says, real calm, and she says, you know, I'm scared to eat that salad. And I'm thinking, I don't know why you're scared to eat it, because you bought all this stuff, and it must be good. But then she said, well, I'm going to tell you why I'm scared, because you're not making that salad with love. She says, there is no love in that salad. I said, okay. She said, I want to see some love, or you won't be eating dinner at all. Praise God. I changed my attitude right then because I like to eat dinner. Amen. Praise God. Now, I heard of one person whose goal growing up was to get all four of his sisters to cry at the same time. Now, he said this was actually quite challenging. But he would never forget what happened one evening when he finally accomplished his goal. I said, I didn't even want to hear what he did. I just didn't want to hear nothing about that. But he, whatever he did, he had four of his sisters crying at one time. But saints, as a church family, our goal is to love each other as a way of life. Amen. Loving as a way of life is for all of us who want to have better relationships. Anybody here want to have better relationships at home, here at church, on your job, at school? Well, love is the way. And you know what, saints? Everywhere we look, there are signs that people are hungering for fellowship. They're hungering for community. They're hungering for a sense of family. Look at commercials on the TV. Take beer commercials, for example. Now, a beer commercial, you look at the next one, they're really not selling the beer. They're selling fellowship. Because you don't see one person drinking a beer by himself. Usually there's people and they're just, a lot of times there's sexy ladies, all this. But there's company enjoying each other. And if you listen to those commercials, one commercial, beer commercial says, it doesn't get any better than this. They're drinking, it don't get any better. Advertisers have discovered this, and they've discovered that independent-minded baby boomers, how many here are baby boomer? I know there's a lot of us in here, amen, that we've been so independent-minded, but they're finding that we're suddenly longing for community. Yes, we're longing for fellowship now. So they're going to be playing in on us, okay? From the beginning of time, we know that people need to be loved from the moment we're born. They say the babies that are held and cooed and talked to, they're healthier than ones who aren't talked to and loved and touched. And so, saints, the church ought to be the place, amen, for the deepest love. This ought to be the place for the deepest caring for each other. John 13, 34 and 35 says, a new commandment I give to you. As love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all who are looking will know that you are my disciples. Why? If you love one another. Saints, healthy Christian fellowship, it meets several of our needs. And one is our need for reinforcement. Now, sometimes when you're out in the world with your convictions and you love the Lord and you're going to live for Christ, you can start feeling like, ooh, I'm the only one out here trying to live. I'm all alone like Elisha. There's no one else but me, Lord. You can start feeling like that when you're the only one not stealing the pens, not the boss's drawer. You're the only one not cussing. You're the only one. You're the only one. You can start feeling like you're alone. You're the only one not cheating. And your kids, they say, and everybody else is doing it, mom and dad. Everybody else is having this and that kind of party. Everybody else went to this and that kind of movie. And so you're trying to stand on your convictions. So saints, it's encouraging when you can come to the family where we can encourage each other, where we can keep each other strong. Those of us, as we share our commitments, we go out stronger, amen. Now, Hebrews 10:25, it drives this thought home that we need to spur one another on toward good works. So just hunt your neighbor and say, keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the one who falls and has no one to help him. That's right. Now, saints, another thing healthy fellowship meets is our need for accountability. How many know we all need to be accountable to somebody? Every last one of us needs someone to be accountable to. The world can be a very tempting place. Now, how many will admit within the last week or two you have been tempted by some temptation? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'll forgive the rest of you. It's okay. Amen. Living in this world, there's going to be some temptation. It is going to be some temptation. And we never get so spiritually mature, saints, that we don't need a gentle rebuke from a sister or a brother or a reminder from a Christian friend. You know, Paul had to rebuke Simon Peter because he was falling back into legalism. So Paul had to come to his side and say, hey, man, what you doing, man? You better get back to the gospel here. And we need that to do it for one another, accountability. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Hallelujah. Saints, it's difficult for us, I know, when we see someone that's not living the way we think they should, and they're doing stuff that hurts other people and says things that hurt other people. Well, praise God, we got the right life sharing series right here, because we're going to be camping in the book of Acts, and we are going to better understand the foundation of the church and how to make an impact in the lives of one another. Now, the first thing is we must all be completely committed to Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got to be devoted to Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. And as we are sold out for Christ, we're going to focus on some key lifestyle values. And these key ingredients were clear in the early church. When you read it, you can see that they were there. And they need to be in our church as well. Amen. We all need instruction in God's word. Hallelujah. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, get the word, into your hands, and into your mind, and into your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. And as we do that, we're going to mobilize together. We're going to build community together, mobilize ourselves for ministry. If anybody is near each other, I think this is a good pose for mobilizing. You can just put your arm in somebody else's arm. We're mobilized for ministry. Amen. Mobilized for ministry. When we get ourselves mobilized for ministry, and then we will be able to see some fruit, saints, in our personal lives and together as the body of Jesus Christ. We'll be fulfilled, and the church will be fortified, saints, as we use our God-given gifts for the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, saints, for those of you who want to deepen your fellowship in the church, I've got some advice for you today. And that is, saints, get involved in life sharing. Amen. Come on out to life sharing. I will guarantee that you will build some lasting friendships, friendships that you will deeply cherish, praise God. And also, I encourage you to come to additional groups, growing groups, groups like Men Who Excel, Sisters in the Lord, Married Sensation, Spiritual Journey. Come out to the, and I guarantee you will build lasting friendships that you will deeply cherish. Praise God. Now, we're looking at the early church, and that's what they had, and we can have it too. Now, saints, our text today describes the extent of the unity that they had as it existed at the very beginning. for a while, they were allowed to live in the glorious oneness which only the Holy Spirit can produce. And saints, this sense of community can be recaptured today when we allow Jesus to be Lord, amen, when we surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our personal lives. Everybody say, in our personal lives. In our personal lives, amen. Now, the book of Acts gives us an inside look at how the church cared for other believers, and we'll see different degrees of their unity and purpose and principles that can help us experience the same depth of unity and purpose today. Now, as we look at our passage, Acts 2, 42 through 47, before us today, we're going to see what kind of community the Spirit produced in this young church and what kind of community the Spirit can produce in us. Now, we find, as we look at these verses 42 through 47, some habits that we can learn and practice for ourselves. We just need to decide we wanted to become authentically loving people, which will result in remarkable satisfaction in our relationship. Now, over our time away, one of the books I read was Gary Chapman, who's the author of The Five Love Languages. And this one is Love as a Way of Life. 7 keys to transforming every aspect of your life. I recommend that you get it from the bookstore, Love as a Way of Life. As I was reading it, I said, I see all of this in the early church. And so I just wanted to just lift a few things out that are in our passage for today. Now, what is the first trait that I have listed here? Kindness. Kindness is discovering the joy of helping others. Saints, no act of kindness that we do for each other, no matter how small it is ever wasted. No act of kindness is ever wasted. And it's not a political issue. It is a matter of human survival. How many know we live in a dog-eat-dog world? You know what? And when it's a dog-eat-dog world, eventually there's only one dog left. All right? One dog left. And saints, without acts of kindness, the world becomes a dark and lonely place for each of us. With acts of kindness, we can help one another survive. Praise God. Now, for kindness, the first thing that has to happen, saints, is a change of attitude. Just tell your neighbor, a change of attitude. A change of attitude. That's what I had to have when I made that salad, a change of attitude to make it with kindness. Now, most of us will admit that if we're going to become truly kind people, we got to have this change within us. Most of us have a tendency on our own, we are just self-centered. We just really are. And self-centered kind of love says, I'll be kind to you if you be kind to me. If you don't be kind to me, I ain't going to be kind to you. You be kind to me, then I'll be kind to you. That's self-centered kind of love, okay? But when we have authentic kindness, authentic love, we'll say, I love you. I'll be kind to you regardless of how you treat me. Regardless of how you treat me. Now, secondly, kindness, putting on kindness. We have to put it on. So I want us to, from this whole series, that when you wake up in the morning and then you get dressed and you got your hair combed, your teeth brushed, and everything is together, then you start putting on the clothes of kindness. Just start putting them on. I like wearing hats. I'm going to put a hat of kindness on, too. Kind shoes. All right, now I want you to do it. Everybody puts a coat of kindness on. Everybody practice it, because I want you to do it every morning. Amen. Wrap yourself in kindness every morning. Amen. And you find if you will wrap yourself in kindness, that's right, Patricia. Get it on, girl. Get that coat on, girl. Amen. When we wear kindness as a part of our clothing, we don't stop thinking about it, or should we be kind in this situation. You already put the kindness clothes on, so just go ahead on and be kind. Amen. Kindness will be our constant companion. Now, here's just some ways we can be kind to each other here at the church, which will spill over to home and spill over to our workplace and school. We can just hold a door for someone. That is so simple. But if you see somebody coming from behind you, what is the kind thing to do? Just hold a door, amen. Just, it's simple, but it makes a person feel, wow, that kindness felt good, amen. Smile. All right, we got to practice that too. Oh, that's beautiful. Good. Everybody smile. We all need that. Amen. Amen. Even to the little ones, they need us smiling at them. All of us, we need smiles. Hallelujah. Visit, look at the sick and shut-in list that Gloria has there. Call up somebody. Go visit someone. That's kindness. If somebody you know is having a difficult time, then just call them up. And then sometimes we just say, let me know if I can help. But it would be a step further if we said, can I come over and wash the dishes for you? And then they'll know, wow, this person is really serious. They are really serious. And they could say, well, no, but I need the floor vacuumed. You know, go deep with it. Make it like you really mean it and go and follow through with it. And then we can look at the birthday list. Gloria puts the birthday list in every bulletin. And just say, well, guess who's, look whose birthday. I'm going to call her up and just sing happy birthday. Can't sing a lick. I'm really torturing her, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. She'll feel love even with the torture. Hallelujah. So let's do that. Notice if someone has done an excellent job and just compliment them. Choir, you all were off the hook Friday night, and we appreciate what you did at the 9/11 service. Tell the choir when they do good. Tell the camera people when they do anything that you see, praise God. Let them know, amen. And that is kindness in action. Someone has lost a loved one. And even if it hasn't been recent, even if they lost a loved one years ago, sometimes you could just mention the person to them and say, you know what, I sure do miss, you know, whoever that person was. That is an act that I care about you. I'm thinking about you. That's kindness. Hallelujah. That will spill over so that when we go out from here and we're got these buttons on, Glenville New Life Community Church and all, and so we're giving the love of Jesus, they'll say, wow, what church you go to? When you give somebody a compliment, when you then go out and hold the door. I love to just see people's faces when they come into the door and then they look up and see that I have been waiting for them. They say, you were holding the door for me. Take it with you, saints. Amen. Take it with you. And then just make a little kid happy. I saw so many little lemonade stands all over. Just whatever you can do. Some of the lemonade tastes good, some of it didn't taste so good. But you know what? It made the little kid feel, you know, and then you just pray, Lord, may I be all right. Hallelujah. They've been out there all day and I'm drinking this lemonade. But it does make them feel good, amen? That is a kind act, saints. So we're going to work at expressing kindness to one another and when we go out. Why? Because we are family. Amen. Now, what's the next trait? Patience. Patience. Patience is accepting the imperfection of others. Patience is allowing someone to be imperfect. Praise God. Saints, I had an opportunity to exercise this trait. We had the youth revival out here. We had decorated. I had bought big things of balloons, placing them all over the churchyard and everything. And so some of the kids, we'll hold it while you tie them to the fence. This one little fella, I'll hold it. I want to hold it. I said, okay. It had 10 balloons on it. And then I'm tying one up. Then the next thing I hear him say, uh-oh. I had a place for that bouquet of balloons. And so I said, well, this is an opportunity. I can either crush him down or I can build him up for the rest of his life. Just the fact that I says, everybody, let's look at that bouquet because that's the last time we'll see that. And so everybody waved at it, and I said, it's okay. And so he was like, he was so glad I didn't get on him. But, oh, I hated to see those balloons go. But the Lord just gave me that patience. He didn't mean to do it, amen. And patience is allowing someone else to be imperfect. So thank you, Lord, because we ourselves are not perfect, amen. Amen. And choosing patience with one another can be one of the most efficient choices that we can make. Amen. So we want to just to love others and to build community. We need to be patient with ourselves as well. For example, if we catch ourselves thinking negative thoughts about ourselves or others or saying words about ourselves, then just stop. Philippians tells us to think on things that are lovely and good report. Say, Lord, I'm not a dummy, and Lord, I thank you. I just made a mistake, and thank you that I'm going to keep on, and I'm going to overcome that spilt milk all over the floor or whatever it was. And then thoughts about other people. Lord, help me. I don't understand, but I just want to think good thoughts about that person because you love them too, like you love me. Praise God. So, saints, we're going to work at developing this habit of patience because we are family. Amen. The next one is
forgiveness.
Forgiveness is finding freedom from the grip of anger. Forgiveness, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, is not an occasional act. It's a permanent attitude. Forgiveness is using honesty, compassion, and self-awareness to reconcile with someone who has hurt you. Now, saints, we've all read of employees who got mad. They went home, came back, and shot up other co-workers, shot their bosses, shot up innocent people. And more commonly, we have heard people going on tirades. They're just angry and mad against the person who's wronged them. And we begin to just focus on our own anger. We begin to focus on our own fear. And we just start losing it. But if there's ever a time when we need help, saints, and guidance in handling our emotions, it is now. And it's when, especially, we've been wronged by a friend. We was trusting them, and the next thing we know, we pulling this knife out of our back, or we just trusted a family member, and they went and they just took all the savings we had out of that little piggy bank. We should never told them where we put that piggy bank. Whatever it is, we are so upset with them. And that is the hardest time to forgive someone. But Scripture says, confess our own failures before God. Confess those negative thoughts and just give it to the Lord. And God will forgive us and then will give us wisdom as to how to deal with the situation in a positive, everybody say positive, in a positive way. Because you see, negative emotions and attitude can be destructive. Amen. Now I want to say, I felt that our President Barack Obama, he displayed this trait of forgiveness when Representative Joe Wilson apologized on Wednesday for calling the president a liar during the president's address to a joint session of Congress. Now, I'm telling you, when I saw that, I went, and I'm like, what? I mean, he was showing no courtesy, no respect. But when he apologized that next day to the president, President graciously received his apology. And I think that was just such a wonderful model for all of us. Amen. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Let's continue to pray for our president. Because you see, if we just harbor on a negative emotion, they will be destructive to you and to those around you. And they might even cause you keep harboring them, to strike out in violence, amen, against one who has hurt you. So by nature, we got to admit, we can be kind to those who are kind to us, love those who love us. But saints, when love is a way of life, the standard becomes much higher, saints, and we will express love to even those who mistreat us. Hallelujah. And we do this, why? Because we are family. Amen. The next trait is what? Courtesy. Courtesy is basically treating others as friends, treating others as family. So, how many know that we ought to be kind to everyone we come in contact with? Because guess what? Everyone is facing some kind of battle. Everyone's got some kind of challenge in their life. So we need to be kind to everybody that we meet. Amen. And opportunities are always available to be courteous to others. We look at the early church and we see how they were courteous to one another. And it means acknowledging the presence or efforts of someone else. It means paying attention, and that is a way to be courteous. When you give somebody your attention, you are being courteous. Now, it may mean going to that piano recital and listening very intently to that little one playing the piano, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and really smiling and really saying, you are really going somewhere. You really did that good. And you know you want to be home. You just want to get home so bad. But you just give them that attention. You give them your time, amen. You could be talking to somebody, and they've even said the same thing they said last time you saw. And then they said the same thing the time before that. And you could say, would you quit saying the same thing over? You already told me that. I'm tired of hearing you say the same. Don't do it like that. Just say, uh-huh, you know, yeah, you was talking about that. You know, so see if you can hear something new in there some kind of way. You know, because it's on their mind, so you might as well listen to it again. Amen. You know, every time I watch a movie for the second or third time, I always see something I didn't see the other time. So when you listen to somebody tell the story for the 10th time, see if you can find something in there. Be courteous, amen, and listen to what they have to say. Hallelujah. Praise God. Every expression of courtesy enriches someone's life. Amen. Now, when somebody is particularly rude or they're saying things and they really upset us or doing things, you know, before we get so upset and just blow up in anger. Now, yesterday, I was trying to pull off of Eddy Road onto Route 90 to go eat. And I didn't see this car coming from, like, the Brattonall way. And so I was turning. And so thank God she saw me so she could stop and not run into me. But she went on her horn like this. And she kept, and I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. So she followed me out. And then when she got close to me again on the freeway, we both on 90, she went, and she's looking at me. I'm like, well, you better look that way or you're going to really cause all of us to be an accident. But she said, and, you know, if there was a little thing in me that says, blow your horn back at her. But then I said, no, I was the one who was wrong. She didn't have to rub it in like that. I already was sorry. I mean, you don't have to make me feel that bad about it. But she just kept on and kept on. But the Lord gave me that grace, and I didn't, I just said, I'm sorry. That's what I kept doing. I'm sick of you blowing your horn, but I'm sorry. Yeah. It was my fault in the first place. But courtesy, if someone does make a mistake, we don't have to keep rubbing it in, amen. Rubbing it and kicking it in their face, amen. Like she was doing to me yesterday. And our instinct, saints, is to respond with anger, you know, when something happens like that. But when somebody is saying something or doing something, let's just take a moment and try to understand where they're coming from. Maybe what's going on underneath, what's going on in their life that might be causing them to be acting like that. And so I was wondering, I wonder, does she have nails for breakfast this morning? Trying to understand her, you know, why she was acting like that. But if we try to understand where a person is coming from, we're far more likely to be courteous to them, amen? We might feel irritated, but we have to look beyond the outward and respond with courtesy. And we do this for one another because why, saints? We are family, amen. And then the next trait is humility. Humility is stepping down so someone else can step up. Hallelujah. Humility, it is a most strange thing. The moment that you think, oh, I have really acquired humility, that is the very moment you have lost it. Hallelujah. Amen. Humility is a peacefulness at heart that allows you to stand aside in order to affirm the value of someone else. Now, the reality is that if we become humble in spirit, it must be learned. It's like it's not natural, you know, it's not in our nature. We have to learn to be humble. Now, saints, pride gets in the way of humility, but pride isn't the only thing that is the enemy to humility. I think it's also failure to recognize our own value, and that gets in the way of humility. That's why we sing the song at the end of the service, I love myself so much that I can love you so much so that you can love you so much so that you can start loving me. Amen. You see, recognizing our own worth, saints, is a step towards loving others more authentically and lovingly. You see, humble people recognize their own value as well as the value of others. And therefore, they are pleased when others succeed. They are pleased when good things happen to others because they recognize their value and everyone else's value. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Humility is not a popular theme in our culture, saints, but it is essential and it is a satisfying characteristic of love. It's not easy. Humility does not come easy, but we're building community with one another. So like the early church, we are going to learn how to develop this trait of humility. Why, saints? Because we are family. Amen. And building community, another trait is what? Generosity, amen. Generosity is the giving of yourself to others. It's giving your attention, your time, your abilities, your money, your compassion freely to others. And saints, as we learn the art of giving, we find that we have more than we ever dreamed. You know what? Because scriptures tells us we can't beat God-given no matter how we try. Because the more we give, the more God gives to us. And God loves what kind of a giver?
Cheerful.
A cheerful giver. Now, when we get to Acts chapter 4, we're going to notice the spontaneous expression of generosity for the church. And they gave to those who didn't have. They sold possessions, laid them at the apostles' feet. And a result, scripture says, no one lacked anything. And this was a spontaneous expression of what God had did in their hearts. Amen. They were generously and they were joyful to share with others. Amen. So we share with one another. We also share with the church. The church needs finances. Missions needs finances. Amen. To further the kingdom of God. So we joyfully give. Amen. We joyfully reach that tithe. And maybe every year we could say, I'm going to give 1% more than I did last year, Lord. And I'm going to watch you bless me and just see what God will do in your life. Here's something else we see in the early church about giving. They valued people over possessions. Amen. And this was born from within. It wasn't something that was imposed on them. They cared, and so they gave. So, saints, we sacrifice for the kingdom of God because we are family. Amen. Now, our last trait that's printed here today is what?
Honesty.
For building community, we need honesty. Honesty is revealing who you really are. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, who are you? All right. Honesty is revealing who you really are. All right? Honesty is a loving consistency in speech and thought and action. And true honesty goes beyond what we can say. We say a lot of stuff. True honesty goes to who we are. That's what true honesty, living with integrity. Now, when you're not sure whether or not you should say something, just reflect on, do my words reflect a trait of a loving person before I speak to this person? And as late Pastor Helen Brin always says, speaking the truth in love. That should be our basis, speaking the truth in love. For example, now, if I am walking around greeting you all, and there's something like kind of hanging out of my nose a little bit. Okay, now, I appreciate if you don't let me keep walking around with something hanging out of my nose. All right, but I also would appreciate if you didn't yell across the sanctuary, Pastor Tommy, there's something hanging out of your nose. Oh, please. It'd be better to, if you could come up to me and here's a tissue, you know, get your nose. Or just if you're out there, say, you know, something like that, so I know, you know, to get my nose. I remember there was one little cute kid. I had preached, and, you know, I'm the weeping pastor, so I was crying. And so, but after I was hugging everybody, I was hugging this little one, and she said, Pastor Toby, she says, one of your eyes are coming off. And I was just walking around, hugging everybody, and I was like, oh, thank you. I better run upstairs, you know, and re-glue that, you know, because it was like, it come up with a... Thank you. One of your eyes are coming up. But she didn't say it in front of everybody. She says, one of your eyes are coming up. She's just looking at it. Other people had saw me, but they was letting me walk around like that. Oh, boy. So speaking the truth in love, amen, praise God. I remember I was preaching one time, and I looked, and Katie kept pointing to her head like this. She's looking at me like, I'm like, what's wrong with Katie? And then she said, and so I said, I felt up here, and some of my hair, like it was just, something was like a bush coming out like that. I don't know what happened that day. But then, so then I turned, I was preaching like this. Yeah, so y'all couldn't keep seeing that, you know. Oh, my goodness. And I looked at that video, I'm like, what on earth? Oh, praise, thank you, Katie. I was wondering, were you okay? You was just pointing to your head. You were trying to help me out, thank God. But let's help each other, speaking the truth in love, amen. And that just showing kindness and patience and humility, amen. And we do all of this because why? We are family, amen. Now, these seven traits are not vague feelings or good intentions. They are habits. Everybody say habits. Habits that we must learn to practice when we love one another so that we can be authentic in our relationships. They are basic practical traits that are doable in everyday life, saints. And yet the results of these habits, hallelujah, is remarkable. Our relationships will never be the same. We will have so much satisfaction. Now, saints, if we want what the early church had, then we must thirdly, you look at your notes, value ministry over selfishness. The first church experienced unity because they valued ministry over selfishness. In this area of unity and purpose, it is so vital, saints. It's so important that we understand the place of decision. Everybody say decision. Decision. Our unity as a family comes as a result of the Holy Spirit's actions in our lives. Our unity comes, saints, as a result of our decision to pull together, saints. Our decision to work together to accomplish our purpose as a church. And if Glenville New Life Community Church is going to have unity of purpose, we need everyone. We need everyone on board, everyone pulling together, everyone sharing the load. Everybody in here has gifts, spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gave you. And we have to decide that the overall purpose for which we are aiming is important enough to give ourselves away in more than just a casual, cool way. We must decide to do so. And it really goes back to the word devoted. In Acts 2:42, the word devoted is there. We need, saints, to be completely committed, devoted, sold out to fellowship, sold out to one another. We must decide that we're going to give more than our spare time. Well, if I'm not doing nothing else, I go down to the church. I'll go help with that endeavor. I'll go down there and be supportive, involved, or active. God is asking us to make a decision to be sold out. Amen. And if you're not there today, one way you can do it is you can see Lay Pastor Sylvia and get in her members and process class. She teaches a wonderful class. And for the rest of us who are already members, maybe we just need to rededicate ourselves to the ministry of the Lord, to rededicate ourselves to the Lord and to one another, to say, Lord, forgive me, Lord, for being lax, for not having the love for you and for the other members of the body as I should. God is looking for active member saints who are fully committed to overcome our selfishness. The last principle, they valued people over possessions. That's a deep thing. We've got to value each other over possessions. The saints, I want to end with this. What happened in the life of the early church? It can happen for us today. Make it so, Holy Spirit. Make it so with each individual decision. And together as the family of God, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Hallelujah. We can be united in vision. We can be united in purpose. We can be united in love and concern for one another. We can demonstrate unity in purpose. And speaking of purpose, saints, what is our purpose as a church? Would you declare it now with me? Our purpose is to enter into a right relationship with God and be equipped for the ministry of Jesus Christ. To make a difference in the lives of others. Hallelujah. Yes, we can become people who make a difference in this world. We can go mad. Hallelujah. Making a difference. If, saints, we are people in whom Christ has and is making a difference inside of us, that's where it begins. We can enjoy the unity of the Spirit, the power of God, and effective ministry as we allow Christ to live his life through us. So, saints, I end with verse 32, and it reads that the believers were of one heart and mind. Notice, the believers were one. They were experiencing oneness, a unity, a purpose, which they never could have produced on their own. It was from the Holy Spirit. And if we want Glenville New Life Community Church to be a loving, caring community, we've got to be people truly surrendered to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just want to ask, if that's you today, if you want to make that decision, Lord, I want to surrender fully to you. I want to be a part of your family, fully committed, just putting all my energy and doing what you would have me to do to make the body of Christ, the family of God, all that it can be. Will you, if that is your desire today, would you just join in with others and just shout, we are family, and just high five your neighbor. We are family. 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 Hallelujah. Amen, saints. Now I'm going to ask you to put your hands together. We are family. I want you to say with me. Yeah. All right. We are family. Amen. Amen.
All right. We are family. 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 My brothers and my sisters with me.
Sisters with me, hey, hey, hey. We are family.